brought to you by Penguin.
Typhoon Fury by Clive Cussler and Boyd Morrison. Read for you by Scott Brick. Prologue. World War II, the Second Battle of Corregidor, the Philippines, February 20th, 1945. The tunnel exploded. Sergeant Daniel Kokoa dropped to the ground and covered his head as the M4 Sherman tank that had fired on the ragged entrance was thrown backward a dozen yards by the gigantic secondary blast from inside the tunnel. The 30-ton tank flipped over and landed on its turret before a loose shell inside tore it apart in a fireball. When debris stopped raining down around him, Kokoa staggered to his feet, his ears ringing from the deafening explosion. Dozens of American soldiers lay dead or writhing in pain. He turned over the nearest man down, the vacant eyes and chunk of shrapnel protruding from the soldier's chest showed that he was beyond help. Kokoa shook his head in disgust at the deadly foul-up. The briefing from Army intelligence indicated that this particular tunnel sheltered enemy soldiers defending the island fortress strategically located at the mouth of Manila Bay. Kokoa had called in the tank to prevent a suicidal bonsai attack, which had become commonplace with the fanatical Japanese. But there had been no indication that the tunnel might also contain large quantities of explosives close to the entrance. Captain John Hayward crouched nearby in one of the many craters created by the American pre-invasion bombardment, his hands still over his ears. Kokoa reached down to haul him to his feet. The slight man, with brown hair and circular-framed glasses, was shaking.
"All clear now, Captain," Kokoa said. "I told you I'd get you through this battle in one piece." Of course, Kokoa could make no such promise. But what else was he going to tell this officer, whose safety the Army had entrusted to him? "Thanks, Sergeant. I appreciate that."
Hayward took in the carnage with wide eyes.
"What happened?"
"Must have been an ammo dump inside the cave. Your boys in the OSS told us the ammunition would be stored farther down the tunnels."
"They're not my boys. That intel came from a different part of the Office of Strategic Services. I'm not a spy, Sergeant Kokoa. I'm a scientist in the research and analysis branch."
"I can't say I'm surprised, given the way you carry that carbine."
The mission briefing had been just that. Brief. The battalion commander had specifically asked for Kokoa to babysit Captain Hayward and follow his orders while keeping him alive. Everything else was on a need-to-know basis only, and as a grunt in the 24th Infantry Hawaiian Division, Kokoa apparently didn't need to know anything. All Hayward had told his unit was that he needed to get inside the underground fortress before the Japanese could destroy it. The tadpole-shaped island of Corregidor and its howitzers guarded the entrance to Manila Bay, one of the largest harbors in the Pacific. The strategic outpost, also known as the Rock, was 4 miles long and little more than a mile across at its widest. As a U.S. Commonwealth, the Philippines had been the last bastion to fall during the initial Japanese onslaught at the outbreak of the war, holding on until the island's forces surrendered in May of 1942. 2 months after Douglas MacArthur had been evacuated. Kokoa was leading his unit as part of the operation to retake Malinta Hill on the island's tail. Its vast grid of tunnels was bisected by a 24-foot-wide main passageway that had served as a hospital and MacArthur's headquarters. Dozens of smaller tunnels branched out from the main one, a bomb-proof network so large that it not only housed munitions, food, and water for a huge garrison that could withstand a siege for months, but also had room for the 1,000-bed hospital. In the 3 years since the Japanese conquered Corregidor, they had fortified their positions, digging out additional tunnels to augment the extensive system built by the Americans, some of which had been collapsed intentionally before the 1942 surrender. Hayward's target was inside one of those tunnels. Kokoa took stock of the dozens of casualties and found out that two of the men who had died were in his platoon. Kokoa had served with both of them in the National Guard.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?